Next Step number 674, May 6, 2021.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Thanks for tuning into the Next Step with Father Vazgen. We are the voice of Armadoxy, a weekly podcast started in 2008 that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. We reach out to those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. Now, let's get ready to take the next step.
Well, tell me, what did you expect? No. I can't say I expected. I don't want this to turn out to be a I told you so kind of moment. But what did we expect? I didn't expect this, at least at this point. Talking about what's going on in Artsakh, in Shushi. An Armenian church being dismantled in front of the world population. Yeah, we expected this, but what did you expect others were going to do about it? Oh, yeah. No, I remember. We need to get President Biden to accept the genocide, something that happened 106 years ago. Like, you know, this matters that the president acknowledges it. And oh, they talked about moral authority. Now we have moral authority. I know it's a strange issue, right? Because you know and I know that these things don't matter in the grand scheme of things. But you know and I know that we have to play this politics. We have to play this politics out. And you know and I know that we're listening in now to this religious show, so to speak, the next step. What do we do with our lives? What is the next step? Where do we come from? Where do we go? What are we here for? And then in our identity crisis, being away from such an issue that's going like this, what do they call it? The survivor's guilt, that we are somehow distanced from this horrible, horrific act. Let me start off with the act itself. Okay, before we go into there, because I want to get into this. Artsakh. This is the place where we had that horrible war. I'm sorry, redundant, isn't it? Horrible war. Of course it's horrible. You can't even use the word tragic. All wars are tragic. Unexpected? Can't even do that. So let's not give it a descriptor. Artsakh, this is the place that we had a war last year, where the Azeris, with the Turks backing them, Turkey backing them, with weapons from Israel, went after the Armenian people. Straight and simple, went after the Armenian people. And after 44, 45 days, they took over a section of land, and still the dust is settling on it. There's still POWs. There are still remains of people who were killed that have not been returned. Horrible, horrible event. The town of Shushi was taken over by the Azeris. And there in Shushi is this iconic church, Ghazan Chetzots. It's a mouthful, I know. This is the cathedral in Shushi. Those of you who've been listening to The Next Step for years know that it was the place where we went several years ago, back in 2014. And I shared with you the spiritual, the mystery, the mystic, the mysticism that came out of this church. Below, underneath this church is the most It's beyond what you can imagine that human beings can create. How about that? Can I express it like that? Like, you cannot imagine that human beings with our abilities would be able to create something like this. Not only is the church beautiful, inspiring, but below it is a confession room. A confession room, literally, imagine yourself in this large room. When I say large, what it's probably, I'm going on memory right now. It's something like 15 by 15 feet, okay? Dead center of it is underneath the altar. If you stand in that area, right in the center, you would talk, and you yourself would hear your voice amplified. I mean, amplified! Yet the people right around you couldn't hear. They couldn't hear you. And this was created as a confessional, where people could confess. There are so many other attributes of this particular room, but I'm sharing with you because this is this small little mystical area inside that church. In the church itself, there's a place where outside the beautiful icons of the pillars of the church, the 16 saints who hold up the church, one of which, Saint Andrew, my patron saint. I had an opportunity, Susan and I went, and we took a picture there. And that picture is very special to me. And I remember going back, when was it, 2019 was the last time we were there, and just feeling so bad that icon had not been taken care of. It had weathered, let's say, in 6 years. But nothing like what we saw just a couple days ago. The Azeris went in. And this is the church, by the way. If you remember, during the war, we shared with you those pictures. This is the church in which the Azeris went. They shelled it. They bombed it. They desecrated it. And then there was that cellist who played inside of, I think he played gurung. And I shared that with you, not only here on The Next Step, but also we shared the clip with you on the 168. Anyway, this church now, like literally 2-3 days ago, was dismantled by the Azerbaijanis. And they're calling it under the pretext of renovation. Yeah, they're going to renovate it. They're going to make it into a mosque. And you know that. But we can't say that. Excuse me, we can't say that, okay? They've taken this, by the way, it's called the Church of the Savior, Ghazan Chetzots. It's right in Artsakh, Shushi. And it's with, like, when you get into Shushi, you can't miss it. It's right there. And of course, this is the entire plan of the Azerbaijanis, and of course of Turkey. Ultimate pan-Turkism is just get rid of the Armenians completely. Human rights defender Geram Stepanyan wrote this last Monday. He says, Azerbaijan cannot renovate the cultural heritage belonging to the very people against whom hatred has been sown for years at a state level. At a state level, you know what that means? It's genocide, right? And he goes on, and I'll put a link on today's show notes. You could read more about it. But here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing. A couple of weeks ago, the world got so excited. President Biden accepted the genocide, and we got so excited about that. All of us did. Everybody did. That the president of the United States. But I told you, I'm not going to say I told you so. But how many years have I been sharing with you? What does that buy us? What does that buy us? Okay, the president acknowledged it. Something 106 years ago. And then today, this is happening. And what's the world doing? The same thing it does every time. Everyone is consumed with their own problems and their own politics. Check out what's going on in the United States right now. We have a pandemic right now. The president is focusing his energy on the pandemic. We've got an economy that needs building. The president is focusing in on how to recover from this economic crisis. And he's presenting a huge $2 trillion relief package. And you're listening to it and you're going, wow, these are big things. And then here we are, Armenians. And sad to say, back on April 24th, I shared with you one part of it where I was with Congressman Adam Schiff at a demonstration. Part of it that I didn't share was the embarrassment that I felt when I saw young kids. And I want to say this word, punks. They were out on the street with just obnoxious t-shirts, signs with obnoxious slogans, and chanting things like, we demand the president, we demand Biden, not even the president, Biden, like he's your uncle, you know? We demand that Biden recognize. Who the hell are you demanding Biden? This is like the ultimate lesson that we need to teach people, that there are ways of asking. If you're going to be out there begging, which that's what Armenians have been doing, begging that others recognize. And by the way, this was very, very interesting. I made the point last week when I was on that show. But have we had a show since that one? No, I think it was we recorded before. Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. Wow. Okay. Let's back up a little bit. Okay. Yeah. Wow. I completely forgot. Yeah. Last week we were together on Thursday. Thursday night, I was going to be part of this group of panelists and we were going to talk about what's going on. And man, we heard people and God bless them. There were so many people that were talking about, yeah, this is a beautiful thing that's happened. We are Armenian. We're staying Armenian. This is great and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff to the point where when it got to be my turn, I had to give them my line. I mean, I was so tired of this. Like, why do we keep talking to ourselves about our same story? Why do we talk about a 106-year-old story, which I personally feel it on my skin every day because I had to grow up with genocide survivors who had to share with me that story. I've grown up my entire life sharing that story, talking about that story. But here we are where we have this opportunity for each of us to bounce off of each other an idea where we can elevate the conversation, okay? Elevate the conversation beyond what, hey, look at us. And what we're talking about, like the rights and what the government, the United States doesn't owe us anything. I hate to say it that way. You know it and I know it. The United States doesn't owe the Armenians anything. You want to talk about morally, acknowledging it, that's another thing. But as far as owing, that's a loaded word. And, you know, that puts on obligation. We're not talking about responsibility. That's like an obligation. You owe somebody something. I mean, if anything, think about it. Think about all that America has given or any of the countries that have accepted. We are guests in these places. This is like a few weeks ago. We were at the April 23rd event, right? And our Archbishop was gracious enough to invite church leaders from other communities. And I'm just like sitting there. You're sitting at our altar. You're talking at our altar. The first expression should be one of thanksgiving. Like, thank you for inviting me here. And there wasn't a word about it. And I'm just like sitting there thinking about, like, how rude is this? How rude of these people. It's like if you go to somebody's house, even if you don't like the hospitality, which, by the way, the hospitality was, to me, overboard in this case. But even if you don't like the hospitality, at the end of the day, when you leave the house, what do? Out of common courtesy, you say thank you. You say thank you for your hospitality. Okay, you don't want to be phony. Just say thank you. Nothing like that. It's interesting. In Armenian, the word is karakavarutyun. And it comes from the root of the word is karak, which means the city or civilized. It's a point of civility, right? There are certain norms and rules and regulations that you have to live by if you want to live in a civilized society, civilized world. I'm not talking about anything that's, at the very least, right? Yeah, there's health issues, there are hygiene issues. You can't just walk around. I remember somebody when we were living up north, Santa Cruz, there was somebody who wanted to make a statement, you know? They weren't happy with the norms of society. So he was... he had decided that he was going to attend classes and go through the streets naked, not wearing anything. Okay. And people said, oh, look at your prudish attitudes that you're against it. Let him walk naked. Okay, fine. Let him walk naked. But do you want to sit on the seat after he sat on it on a bus? Where do you want, what do you expect? There's like certain health issues and people like get wigged out about stuff like this and they fight the wrong fight. They start fighting the wrong fight. And that's what I felt like they were doing the last week. Just like the guy who, you know, like people who argue like, oh, let him walk naked. And everybody, okay, walk naked and I'll walk all you want. But what are you going to do after this guy goes to the bathroom and then he's going to come and sit next to you? What are you going to... I mean, there are certain reasons why we have clothes. I hate to be this blunt about it. There are certain reasons why we have clothes. It's not just to cover our nakedness. There are health issues involved too. And it's the same way when we talk about civility. It means understanding where we are. And so I felt this when we were... talking with this group, what was it called? We Will Not Be Erased. And, you know, like somehow that somehow the Armenians were in the same league with other people. And here's the catcher, because you've heard me say this, that we are part of all of them. But the catcher is that they wanted the pity and the sorrow. And I, when it came to my turn, I said that it's time for us to do other things. We're talking about an issue of 106 years ago. Meanwhile, right now under our noses, the Azeris are killing Armenians. Right now on our streets, here in the Los Angeles area, we have drug addiction problems. We have suicide going rampant among Armenians. So, in other words, there are people dying today, and we can't afford to be dying. Especially COVID, that's another one, right? Because of COVID, not following regulations. So as Armenians, we're sitting around and dealing with all of this today, but talking about an issue 106 years ago. And so on the streets of Hollywood, I'm listening to these little kids. We demand, what are we teaching them? What are you demanding? Like I said, who the hell are you that you're demanding of the president of the United States? And you know what? I've answered that for you. When I say I've told you so, I'll give you the answer to that. Who the hell are we? I'll tell you who the hell we are. But it's not what you think. It's not about us being out there and saying, oh, look at us. We were beaten up. No, it's a different story. Yeah. And that's what we need to share. We need to talk about it. That's the cornerstone of In His Shoes. Who the hell are we? I'll tell you who the hell we are. It's fighting the right fight. And so I was with this group of people on this conference last Thursday night. I don't know if some of you watched it. I remember, now that I'm thinking about it, I remember sharing this with you on last week's episode. And then... going to that, I think it was 3 or 4 hours later. So I don't know how many of you picked up the podcast and then were able to watch it. But if not, I don't even know if I wouldn't even recommend it to you unless you want to, you know, get excited about something that's nothing. But it did give me a little jolt. I realized that I'm finished with this. I'm finished. I can't do it anymore. I cannot do it. There's a new world of people that have to come to terms with the genocide of 1915. They have to come to terms with it the way I did. I did with my own conditions and with my own situation, from my family, what my family had to go through, from what I personally interacted with the family and with hundreds of genocide survivors throughout my life. I had to come to my own conclusions in my own place. And everybody today has to do that same thing. And the only warning I have is that make sure you know what you're talking about, because you'll be put down so quickly. Put down in the sense that you will be quieted. In other words, nobody's going to listen unless you have some merit to it. So let me pick up there on the second portion of today's show. I want to also share with you an experience that we had, a very spiritually uplifting experience from a survivor of the Artsakh War, something that was mystical, spiritual. I'm going to share that in the second portion. And talking about, well, the question that I have, who the hell are we to talk about these things? I'll tell you who we are. Not what you think. Take a break right now. We play a song of the day. Give us a little time to digest. We'll be back in a few moments, okay? Haig Beylerian, the artist, doing Artsakh Im, my Artsakh, my Karabakh. Haig Beylerian, beautiful guitarist, something my sister turned me on to a few months ago and rediscovered in the midst of all of this when we're looking for some calm music, something to calm us down but with a feel, and I hope you felt it. I'll have a link on today's show notes to the artist. Do check him out, and please support the music that we play over here, because it's a way of saying thank you for bringing some beauty into the world, and I hope you agree with me. Melodically, that was just as beautiful as Artsakh is visually and in its spiritual charm. Let's go someplace mystical, okay? Let's go someplace mystical. Last Sunday at the Holy Divine Liturgy here in Burbank, the guest was His Eminence Archbishop Barkev Martirosyan, known to you, known to us, known to most of the world as the Bishop of Artsakh, the Primate of Artsakh. A couple months ago, citing health reasons, he resigned from his position. Those of you who know him, and if you don't, let me tell you, he's a saint of a man. People say that, you know, kind of like even walks up off of the ground sometimes. People look up to him, and rightly so. He was somebody who has survived three different wars in Artsakh. He came around in 1988, was it, or 89, right after the first Artsakh uprising, and then 1994, and then, of course, this last one in 2020. And he has been a pillar in that he has upheld the Artsakh movement, Artsakh world, and of course Christ Church in Artsakh. And I say it that way because he's an incredibly spiritual man with deep-seated beliefs. He has a beautiful book out called I Am the Way, where he writes about what the Christian faith is all about, Christ's statement that I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is, I think, only written in Armenian. I have a copy of it. That would be a really worthwhile endeavor to see that published or translated and published in English. But one of the wish list things, okay? I have had the good fortune of knowing him for the past 30 years of the, since 1992 was the first time I met him, almost 30 years, where we were at a conference together in New York. And I've shared this story with you before, where the Artsakh movement, Artsakh war was going on, and independence had come, and here was this brave Bishop of Artsakh who held the cross up in one hand and spoke a message of revolution, a Christian revolution, a world revolution. And I vividly remember that at this conference, which was filled with just priests and bishops from all over the world, they asked him at the end of his talk about Artsakh, they said, "What can we do for you?" And he said, "Pray." And I remember specifically people said, "Yes, we know, we will continue to pray, but what can we do for you?" And I always think about this because in my head at that age too, 30 years ago, it just seemed like we were asking the typical question that we always ask. When somebody comes up and asks for a handout or they need help, what do you say? What do you need? And so we were asking, "What do you need? Like, give me a list and I'll just run down to the store and buy that for you. What do you need? Some major materials. We'll go to Costco and we'll buy it out. You know, what do you need?" And he said, "Pray." Second time he said it, people got a little bit on edge. When I say people, this is like bishops and priests in this room. I don't know, some like two, it was over 100. We'll put it on our show notes, okay? There'll be a link on today's show notes to this entire story of how this happened. This was called an International Conference of Clergy, Armenian Clergy. This was called by Archbishop Vache was the senior priest, bishop at that time, and he was the chairman of this conference. It was called with bishops and priests, and it took place in New York, from throughout the world. And this third time that we asked him, "Sarpazan, Archbishop Barkev, what do you need?" He said the third time, "Please pray for me." And it just kind of drove home the point that this is what this man was all about, the power of prayer. I met him years later, of course, during the, we have here in America, the telethon, which takes place on Thanksgiving, November weekend. And he was a fixture of that because they would be raising money for the road between Armenia and Artsakh for a lot of improvements for fresh water. And he would come every November and during those visits, we'd always have an occasion to meet and talk and share, and mostly just to listen, to get his blessing. And I'd never forget on that particular time where we went in 2014, he invited our group. There was about 25 of us for dinner at the diocese. And it was just one of the most memorable occasions we've ever had. I thank God for that day. And I remember telling him, Sir Pazan, how can we help? How can I personally help? I'd like to come and do something. And he just looked at me so casually. And he says, Terair, he says, we have 70 churches in Artsakh. 70 churches. I have 13 priests. He says, come. Just like that. He just said, come. There's a lot of work to do. Wow. Okay. What was I expecting, huh? What was I expecting? That he was going to say, oh yeah, I'll give you this position in this particular parish and everything. And it was something that I've often come back to. It's kind of like my wake-up call too. Like, are we really serious about this? Are we serious about doing something? I know a few days ago I posted something on my Facebook page about what's going on in Artsakh. And right away, some guy answers, we have to pick up and we have to go to Armenia and have large families there. Fine. Yeah, that's a great suggestion. Do it. Who's stopping you? Who's stopping you? And so, like I said, it was a wake-up call because you can't just be talking about it. If you're really ready to do something, you need to be out there. You need to go there. You have to invest in it. You have to give. You have to sacrifice. Yeah, that's true. This guy, just like, you know, like I've noticed a couple posts that I put on, he always answers the same thing, you know? We have to leave, go to Armenia, and have large families. Okay, fine. Are you ready to do it? Are you ready? I mean, it's great that you're giving everybody advice, but hey, like, who's stopping you? Like, who is stopping you? Except yourself, right? Except yourself. And so, since that time, I don't really go that direction unless I can provide something. And as you know, as Next Step listeners, you know that through our Inner Shoes ministry, we've been pouring into Armenia, pouring into Artsakh, and helping out the best that we can according to our means. And this goes back to the very basic prayer that starts off my day every day. It's the Reinhold Niebuhr prayer. Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change those things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. There are certain things that I can do, certain things I can't do. And wisdom tells me which I can and which I can't do. And yes, from here, we could collect money, we can help, and we can do stuff. I can't be out there on that front line. Thousands of reasons. But it only takes one, right? And as long as it stops me, it doesn't really matter, does it? It's stopping me. I can't do it. So, Bishop Barkev was at our church Sunday. And I told you there was a mystical moment. During the Vochtrin, the kiss of peace, it is customary to take that kiss of peace from the altar and spread it through the congregation. Something happened. It was phenomenal. The Archbishop turned towards the people, and instead of him going out to the people just rushed him. Yeah, they just like kept coming. They came right to the chancel area, and they were just looking for a blessing. It was so beautiful. There is a video of it because it was, the entire thing was streamed. And actually, I'm going to put a link to the video because I would suggest for two things. One of them is to see that portion. It would be right after the kiss of peace is given. And it'll give you an opportunity to listen to the Archbishop's message. And here's what was really moving to me. Was the message, the passage of the day came to us from the Gospel of John. And in it, Jesus is talking about how he comes from the Father, and therefore he has the authority to speak. And I was thinking about this as the Archbishop was speaking, that who else has the authority to speak about Artsakh? I mean, I'm sitting in Hollywood with a bunch of kids who don't even know what the difference between war and genocide. I'm on this Zoom call with people that are just discovering genocide and our reaction to it. And, you know, from a safe distance too, here in America. And then there's this man who is right there at ground zero, who has taken the shells for the last 30 years, who has seen his people die, who has done enough of the funerals. And he was talking about faith. He was talking about faith in God. And interestingly enough, because this past year, with everything that's been going on top of COVID, and for Armenians, we've had a double whammy because we had the Beirut explosion and the immediate help that we had to take over there. And then we had the war in Artsakh. And people were looking for, where is our faith in God? And you know what? You can't answer that. You can't answer it. But Barkev Sarpazan could. Archbishop Barkev could, because he was doing it from a different point of view. He was doing it from a bishop who is on the ground. And his words were very sincere, to the point, and very moving and inspirational. They were about finding that faith and not being scared of it. In fact, along the lines of what we preach in Armadoxy, that it's not about this beautiful, rosy life, but it's about a life that is one of the cross. And in that cross, we find meaning. In that cross, we find our definition of life. We understand, we find our humanity. I've shared this with you on several occasions. It is literally the cornerstone of In His Shoes, for us to walk in the shoes of others, to understand, as Jesus did from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." What does that mean? It means you have to... Jesus understood us. We don't know what we're doing. He understood us. Why? Because he walked in our shoes. And it's that ultimate understanding that we have to pull out. So, to the question, who the hell are we that we're demanding all this? I'll tell you who we are. We're people of the cross. We are people who have suffered and have gone through even the worst of suffering, through a genocide. Now, how do we react to life? You can sit around and you can be the beggar and ask other people to say, you know, to give you credibility by saying, "Oh, we acknowledge it." But you know what that acknowledgement is? It's what was the word? It's civilized. It's looking at you and going, "Yes, yes, that's too bad that you went through it." Who needs that? Let's get real with it. Who the hell are we? I'll tell you who we are. We're people who have had this background and therefore have now a reason and, yes, an obligation to turn to others who are going through these problems. You know, genocide has continued. Genocide continues even today. We want people to look at us. Are we willing to look at others? Right now at the border of the United States and Mexico, there are children being held there. You know, people say that their parents abandoned them. No, I want you to think in this way. Put your feet in their shoes, walk in their shoes, and think about a parent. Why would you give up your child? Be only one reason for a better life than you have right now. And these parents, imagine how much love they have and how much faith they have in the people on the other side of the wall, namely the United States, that they would go to that wall and send their children over the wall. Because once the children come in, minors come in, the law says that the United States will take care of them. How much faith do they have in that law that they would drop their children off? And they leave them there, and these children are screaming, "Where is my mother? Where is my father?" And they have to deal with this every day in, day out. On Holy Thursday, we sit in our church and we listen to this beautiful hymn called Ures Maerim. And there, in the darkness, we hear the voice of Christ saying, "Where is my mother? I can't breathe. Where is my mother? I'm on a cross. People told me they loved me, but they betrayed me. Where is my mother?" Now, do you understand that connection there? That if we are looking up at a cross and see our Savior up there, how much more we have to be listening to the children who are calling out right now. Right now, today, yes, in Artsakh, genocide continues to the Armenian people. But it also continues in different places in the world. And we see, when we talk about Black Lives Matter here in the United States, this has been the topic for the last year, that Black Lives Matter. And I know it's very easy to say that all lives matter. That's not the point. The point is that Black lives do matter. Now let's make the connection. Armenians, we look at it and we say that Black lives matter. Well, all lives matter. No, Black lives matter. Now say it about yourself. Your life, an Armenian life, matters. A Christian life matters. Now we start understanding that, okay, there is a beauty in the differences, in the different places from which we come from. And then you start evolving to a place where you understand that all lives matter. You can't just say all lives matter and be done with it. It's an evolution of understanding that every single unique life has a unique background, a unique story that has to be celebrated, that has to be understood. And when we talk about understanding, who better than us? Who the hell are we? We're people that can understand. We have the capacity and the potential for understanding. Why? Because we've been through there. Been there, done that, right? We've been there. We've done that. We know what we're going through. We have the authority to understand, the same way that Archbishop Barkev stood there in the church and spoke about Artsakh, because he had the authority. He came from a place. He was hit by shells. He was hit by bullets. He saw his people die. We have that authority to understand. And if you have that authority to understand, then go ahead and understand, rather than sitting and saying that others owe us something. I would never want to say that somebody else owes me something. We've got to think more of ourselves. God has given us that capacity to love. God has given us that strength to endure. So let's take advantage of that. Let's exploit the gifts that God has given us. And in exploiting, we start understanding that we have an opportunity to address, we have an opportunity to share, to love, to really enrich our lives as well as the lives of others. And it doesn't get better than that. That's where I'm at today. The tragedy that's taking place in Artsakh will be remedied when we start understanding that that tragedy belongs to the world by us belonging to the world. Okay, let's take a break right now. I'll be back in a couple moments to give some parting shots and tell you what's going on, okay?
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you all for all of your blessings, your love, your prayers, and your words of encouragement. They go a long way. It has been a very rough few months, especially since the new year, and I appreciate you allowing us to come into your world, into your lives, into your headbuds, wherever you listen to us with these messages. It gives me the strength when I hear from you and know that these messages are getting someplace. Listen, I want to share with you something coming up this coming week. It'll be on May 12th, 8 p.m. London time. So you do the math and you figure out what it is at your time. But our dear friend, Dr. Hrach Chilingirian, we'll be speaking about Christianity in Artsakh. Christianity in Karabakh is the title. The rich religious heritage in Artsakh from the 4th to the 21st century. This is available online. I've signed up for it, and I hope you will as well. I'll put a link on today's show notes so you can look into it and get some more information about that. With that, this coming Sunday is Mother's Day. I want to take this opportunity to wish all of the mothers, and this could be you fathers too who do mothering, wish all of you mothers, fathers, all of you single people who are out there want to be mothers, and for the single ones who do mothering to others, whether it's to a parent, for a child, you get the idea. In other words, to all of you who care, who have that mothering, that love of mothering inside of your hearts, I want to wish you all the best. It is such a special blessing that you carry inside of you to be able to reach out to others, to share, to give unconditionally, to share the God love. That's what mothering is all about. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. May God's blessings be with you today and forever. That will do it for today's show. I will have all kinds of links on today's show notes, so you may want to open that up. But until next week, on behalf of our producer Susie and myself, I want to thank you for joining us, and we look forward to taking the next step with you again next week.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
I forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are.